Shabaka, and she's an injury epidemiologist at Louisiana Department of Public Health, and was a former CST Applied Epidemiology Fellow in Maternal and Child Health, which is what she'll be talking about here, and talking about others' capacity to address reproductive health needs within the context of opioid treatment. Welcome.
That was a great introduction to opioids and MAT programs. Thank you. So I'm just going to do a little introduction on NAS, which is neonatal abstinence syndrome. It's drug overdose in infants that are exposed to opioids like heroin and prescription opioids during pregnancy. And symptoms of NAS are like seizures, respiratory problems, low birth weight, et cetera, like shaking. There's a lot of symptoms. As you can see, in Louisiana, NAS is increasing over time. That is the blue line. It's increased from 2014, as well as substance-exposed infants, which is they're also exposed to opioids, except that they don't have the full symptoms of NAS. So that's also important to look at. And I'll, and the green line are opioid-indicated hospitalizations in pregnancy, and that's basically I just looked at hospitalization records where the woman is pregnant and there was opioids indicated in that hospitalization, and that is also increasing over time. So why are NAS rates increasing in Louisiana? There are multiple reasons, and some of them include women who are pregnant are filling prescriptions, and also a national study found that 14.4% of pregnant women were prescribed opioids. And also, some women who are using opioids are becoming pregnant. Another study found that 86% of pregnancies are unintended among women who use opioids. For the national rate for unintended pregnancy, it's about 40 to 50% of pregnancies. And for Louisiana, it's a little bit higher. It's more closer to 60%. So there's a high number of unintended pregnancies and opioid users. And this presentation is just going to focus on unintended pregnancies. So what are the benefits of planned pregnancies? Women who are planning the pregnancy, they can enter into prenatal care early. They can plan their pregnancy with a pregnancy spacing, which is important for improved maternal mental health, mother-child relationship quality, and developmental outcomes for children. And also, infants are having a higher chance from planned pregnancies of being born the right time and at the right weight. And also, it's a potential way of doing an upstream approach of reducing NAS. As a fellow, I became really interested in doing a surveillance of NAS, and that's where I got that figure from the previous slide. But after discussing with a lot of people in the health department, I noticed that we needed to do a better focus on upstream approaches, not only focusing on surveillance. So that's how I got into this project. So medication-assisted treatment programs, or MAT, sometimes I call them MAT programs, utilizes an FDA-approved medication like methadone and counseling and supportive and rehabilitative services. It's recommended by ACOG during pregnancy, and that's because it's proven to have improved outcomes for mothers and infants compared to no treatment at all. And that's because it prevents the fetus from being exposed to cycles of opioid toxicity and withdrawal. However, it's important to note that you can't just have treatment. She has to also have routine prenatal care to achieve those better outcomes. The objective of the survey was to measure reproductive health services being offered in Louisiana MAP programs, and the objectives were just to figure out which programs need family planning services, STD testing and treatment, and resources like trainings, referrals, education programs, and support. So the overall rationale is that opioid exposure, including methadone, during pregnancy can cause NAS. And preventing unintended pregnancies for those using opioids is an upstream approach of reducing NAS, which includes preventing pregnancy in those that attend these MAT programs. I worked with Collaborative Bureau of Family Health, Office of Behavioral Health, and the 10 MAT programs in Louisiana to make this happen. In Bureau of Family Health, I worked with Reproductive Health Services to get a better understanding of what questions I should ask. They provided a lot of examples from previous surveys, and I worked off of that. And they also helped just brainstorm. We had a lot of brainstorming sessions on what kind of questions we should be asking. And Office of Behavioral Health, they work directly with these MEP programs, and they helped finalize the survey, and also they helped us directly contact the MEP programs. And the MEP programs are, you can see in the map, there are three in northern Louisiana, which is more the rural area of Louisiana, and there are seven in more like a suburban, urban areas of Louisiana, like around like Baton Rouge and New Orleans, which is the southern area of Louisiana. So through the collaboration, we created a 37-question survey to assess STD screening, pregnancy testing, prenatal care access, and contraceptive services. We were asking questions about the referral process, as well as if they had any concerns with anything. The survey was distributed to the 10 programs in December 2016 to the program administrators, and they responded. All of them responded within 2 weeks. So even though it was during the holiday season, they were really excited that we were doing this, and they responded really quickly. So what we found was 60% of those entering to these programs are women of reproductive age. So one thing I wanted to also point out is that men and women, to enter these programs, at least in Louisiana, they have to be addicted to opioids for over a year. But for women who are pregnant, she can enter before a year. That's one thing I wanted to know. It's kind of strict rules there. All programs provide pregnancy testing upon first arrival and at detox initiation, and one program provides monthly pregnancy tests. If pregnant, the care depended on the program. Some pregnant clients were placed with a special counselor, a nurse practitioner that cares for pregnant clients, and some of those programs that did that would continue this care after delivery. Some pregnant clients meet with physicians every trimester where the treatment is revised. And also women were engaged with OB care depending on the location of the program. And also some programs required weekly drug screens to make sure that they are sticking with the treatment. We also wanted to ask questions about education to ensure that women who are pregnant understand what the risks are of having their infant exposed to methadone and other opioids. And this was done for all the programs by on-site physician or counselor. And some programs provided also additional education brochures and pamphlets, while four programs provided more comprehensive education opportunities, including a viewing of methadone pregnancy, and three programs provided, they had this care tract, which was more specialized comprehensive care, including developing a treatment plan and also monitoring prenatal treatment and updating the treatment plan after delivery so they're not lost after delivery. For those that are not pregnant, 50% of programs asked about pregnancy intention and what the clients are currently doing to prevent pregnancy. And women who needed contraception referred to parish health units in the area, patients, primary care physicians, Planned Parenthood, while one program did not offer any condoms or referral services. All programs provided referrals for STD testing and treatment, and they again referred to parish health units, patients, primary care physician, Planned Parenthood, and also NOAIDS Task Force, which is a task force in Louisiana that provides services and support for those living with HIV. These are concerns stated by the MAP programs, and they said that it's concerned about lack of proper connections to services, limited funding, it's very expensive treatment, limited knowledge of care for infants exposed to opioids, and they're also really concerned about the negative stigma that their clients or patients are being exposed to. And they're also concerned that professionals in the hospital setting, physicians, and those working in the court system, they need more education and training in substance abuse and opioid addiction. So PRAMS in Louisiana between 2012 and 2016 interviewed clients in some of the MAP programs, and these are two quotes that I pulled that kind of show that these concerns are valid. The first quote says, "When I got pregnant, I was addicted to opiate pain pills. I tried many places and services begging for help to get clean. Nobody was willing to help me at all because I was pregnant. There should be options available for mothers to be able to receive drug treatment if she seeks it. I was told it was dangerous to quit, but also that I was at risk of child services taking my child if I did not quit. I felt helpless. So just providing education to those providers that she approached would be beneficial to this woman. And also that the second quote says, my baby was born on methadone. I cold turkey detox and have been clean since. There's a lot of hate towards women having a baby on methadone. I am proof that having a baby on methadone doesn't make you a monster. My child truly changed me. There are no positive stories out there about this situation. I was scared my whole pregnancy about my baby having to stay in the NICU, and he came out perfect. Other women should know this so they won't be scared like I was. So she just wanted to say that, you know, clearly, like she maybe at the MEP program that she was at, maybe she had better education, what to expect, might have been better. And also, there's concerns that some women who are pregnant, they don't know that these services are out there and that they don't have to be scared that their baby may have NES. So some conclusions that we made were that increased capacity for integration of reproductive health and addiction recovery. So we need increased capacity for integration of reproductive health and addiction recovery services. And we also need to educate health professionals on needs of women and their infants in order to reduce unintended pregnancies, which is a way, again, of reducing NES. And there are some next steps that we're doing. We are working with one of these MAP programs at Bureau of Family Health. We're working on basically creating a toolkit of what kind of services are available. Through those PRAMS interviews, women at these MAP programs who are pregnant or had children, they really wanted more peer support at the programs. So we're trying to find ways of maybe starting a peer support group there. And also they're asking for education, more education. So they want to create more education and opportunities for those that work at the MAT programs. And it's also, I just want to point out that this is a high priority for Louisiana. Our governor did sign National Governors Association, which are taking steps to reduce inappropriate opioid prescribing. They're trying to lead efforts to change nations' understanding of opioids and addiction and take actions to ensure a pathway to recovery for individuals with addiction. And there are several steps that we need to do, in particular to reduce NES, to approach this problem. We need to incorporate screening for pregnancy intentions, substance use, and NES. Educate providers in methadone treatment and pregnancy and developing a network of providers that are experienced in this area and train those that care for NES affected families, develop a comprehensive guide of best practices, and provide peer support groups again. So there's a lot to do, and we are working on an opioid commission to make these changes, and it'll take some time, but we are trying to make this happen. And this is a disclaimer for, because I was a CSD fellow when I did this. And do you have any questions? Yep.
You mentioned the fear of the one woman for being, Child Protective Services potentially taking her infant away if they found out the mother of a pregnant woman was on drugs. Is that, what are the practices by the MATs surrounding that? Are there rules? Are there laws?
Well, they don't report to Child Services, I don't believe, but I do know that DCFS, the Child Services in Louisiana, they're actually trying to change the definition of what exposure is during pregnancy, since right now it's kind of confusing and it kind of sounds like providers need to report this to DCFS. So we're trying to change the definition so that, you know, if they can maybe if they're on methadone, because that's them getting treatment, just maybe note it, but they don't need to report it, because if they report it, then DCFS has to go and check on them every week. So they're trying to clear that up, but it is a lot of working with a lot of laws to deal with that. But I don't know, I don't believe that programs actually report to DCFS. Yeah. Right, so there's a lot of providers that are prescribing outside of these MAT programs, but the MAT programs are the only where you can only get methadone. So that is the next step. I would like to do a survey and provide all providers that provide buprenorphine just to see what they are they asking questions about unintended pregnancies? Like, are they referring to contraceptive services if they find that they would like it? So. Yeah, I think that's something I need to get going this summer, so maybe next CSDE.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So do you have a question?
No, I was going to ask about
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's in the works. It's a completely different environment and different type of survey, and we actually have a better relationship with the MAT programs since we know they work with the health department anyways, so it's just a good first step to get to know what is going on. And these providers are spread across Louisiana, and I'm sure 100%, we won't get 100% response from them.
Yeah.
On your part about education, have you thought, it seems like it would lend itself really well to a public health detailing campaign, you know, through OBGYN,
provided.
Yeah,
that is one thing we want to target, is educating those providers that are interacting with women on opioids. And I'm hoping to get that done, but, you know, you always need funding for that kind of stuff, so we'll see. Yeah. Any other questions? Great, thank you.